Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the Equippers International podcast, where we're studying the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 6. In the previous episode, we talked about this powerful and personal truth that we have died with Christ to the power of sin, and we now live by His life for the glory of God. And I hope and I pray that you are really connecting into these truths, that these truths are beginning to settle into your mind and into your heart, and that you'll experience some shifting, you'll experience some movement in your own belief system that will begin to connect you to some of these foundational truths of the gospel, because I believe with all my heart that they are life-changing. And that's why I love the book of Romans. So now in chapter 6, it's a good time just to again pause, maybe come up for a breath, because Paul has laid out a lot of really profound things for us in the first 11 verses of chapter 6. So we've talked about the truth of the power of sin, and I hope you've understood how I've differentiated between sinful actions that manifest in our life over and against the power of sin that was released through Adam's act of disobedience. It wasn't just that Adam committed a sin. It's that in doing what he did, he opened the door for something very destructive to enter in to the human experience. And this is primarily what Paul is dealing with in Romans 6. In Romans 3, he dealt with the forgiveness of sins for the payment that was made through the propitiation of Jesus on the cross. This is forgiveness, and this is a foregone conclusion for Paul. It's not even open for debate. Forgiveness is not something that we have to beg for, that we have to do penance for. It is something that is always real and available in our lives because of the finished work of Christ. Now, the journey of walking out the Christian life and living free from the power of sin, that has also been provided for in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul introduces this profound truth to us, and then he connects us. He connects us personally and intimately into the experience that Jesus had at the cross. And our faith connects us to those experiences, and they are very real. Now, this is one of the dynamics that's always going to be at play in the Christian life. It's something we see over and over again, especially in Paul's letters and in the other apostolic epistles of the New Testament. There is what we would call the indicative truth and the imperative exhortation. Now, what do I mean by that? That sounds a little bit lofty in language. But simply put, what it means is things are real based on the fact that Jesus did what he did. It cannot be done anymore for us. So our faith brings us into this objective truth. And then our job, the imperative of the apostles, of Paul specifically, is to enter in to that truth by faith. It's not to go and to try to perform these truths in our own strength. No, the performing of the truth takes place in our lives as we walk in faith, and we can always grow in a deeper measure of our faith in the truth. This is the process. This is the work, if you want to put it that way, of the Christian life. And we looked at it specifically in the previous episode. It is to consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. That means to think about it. That means to believe it. That means to repeat it. That means to say it over and over again in your words, in your mind. And you move yourself deeper and deeper into this place of abiding belief. This is what it means to abide in the Word. Abide in Him and let His words abide in you as you consider the truth over and over. And that truth will set you free because it has the power to do so, because it is empowered by the reality of what Christ has done. And it's empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life to make it real. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what He's constantly doing within us as we engage the truth. Okay, so I could go on for a long time in this because I'm passionate about this process in the Christian life. And I think Christians spend their time focused on a lot of peripheral things that might be beneficial to some degree, but they are truly not foundational in our identity. And those things are the things that are most important. So let's move on now and let's look at verses 12 and 13 in this episode. Let me read those verses. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Let me read verse 14 as well. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, we're going to have to spend a couple of episodes on these verses because Paul is just moving us through this very practical discussion. I love how practical Romans 6 is. So Paul has laid the foundation. Our foundation is that we have been joined with Christ in His death to sin, and through His resurrection, we have entered into new life, and we abide in that place of newness of life by faith in Him. And that is the key to walk free from the power of sin. So the encouragement on the practical level comes in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now, Paul's introducing a new truth here, a new dynamic. And this is where a lot of people stumble over understanding Paul's teaching about sin in the Christian life. For Paul, he can see the difference between the old body of sin that was done away with. We looked at that in the previous episodes up there in verses 6 and 7. The body of sin, the old man, has been done away with. The language there is a permanent cessation of existence. It does not exist anymore. But for Paul, he understands that for the Christian, there is still the experience of living the natural life, living in our bodies. When we accept Christ, He doesn't immediately take us out of the world to some other place to live with Him. He leaves us here. He leaves us in the natural state. Not natural in that we don't experience spiritual birth, but natural in the fact that we have a fleshly life. We have skin and bone. We have the reality of interacting with the physical world. This is what Paul's saying when he refers to the mortal body. We have not been resurrected yet into immortality. Paul's going to go into that in Romans chapter 8. And in other letters, he talks in detail about the significance of the resurrection in the life of the believer. That is something that's going to happen in the future. But in the present, we live now in a mortal body. And Paul says, because of these facts that God has done everything for us in Christ to live free from sin and alive to Him, then our decision is to not let the power of sin reign in our mortal body and obey what it wants us to obey. Now notice here, Paul is not giving an exhortation to believers to stop sinning. He's not saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. He's not making a list of things they shouldn't do. Now, he does have lists of things that are not profitable in the Christian life, but I want you to see the importance of Paul's approach, because I believe Paul's approach is the key to us walking in freedom and abundance in our Christian life. So Paul says simply, don't let the power of sin reign in your mortal body, and do not go on presenting the members of your bodies to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. Here's the truth. We have a responsibility every day to do one thing: present ourselves to God. That's simply acknowledging, God, here I am. This is the truth of who I am in you. And I acknowledge that the members of my body are members of righteousness. They are not members of unrighteousness. And I confess that and I acknowledge that. And so what I do on a daily basis is I present myself before God. Now, let me end this episode and tell a little story about when I was teaching this truth several years ago in a discipleship school. I'd spent quite a bit of time stepping the students through Paul's teaching in Romans 6. And there was a young Scandinavian lady sitting in the class, and I could tell that she was really grappling with these concepts. And she began to cry. Tears began to come down her cheeks. So I stopped my teaching, and I looked at her, and I addressed her. And I just said, sweetheart, what's bothering you? What's happening right now in your heart? And she said, I'm listening to everything that you're saying, but I just don't understand how to do it. I know that there are areas in my life, practically sinful patterns, that I don't want to be stuck in, but I don't know how to. She was very pragmatic, and she wanted to know the how to. And there's one thing that I despise the most about so much Christian teaching is that it gives formulas, it gives steps, and I'm not that type of teacher. I just steer clear of anything that looks like a guaranteed formula. But at that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit just quicken to me to make some very simple points for her to take a hold of. And I told her this. I said, do you believe that you died with Christ to the power of sin? She said, yes. I said, do you believe that you've been raised with him to enjoy union with his life in order that you might live for the glory of God? She said, yes. I said, are you willing to live a life whereby you consider that truth on a daily basis? She said, yes. And I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. When you wake up in the morning, I want you to simply reflect on that truth. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. And I want you to sit up in bed, and I want you to say, God, here I am. I present to you my body. Because I explain to people that sin happens in our body. It happens in our mind, and then it's ultimately manifested through our hands, our feet, some parts of our body. We do things, we say things, we listen to things, we look at things, we do things with the unseemly members of our body, as Paul calls them. We engage in activities that are not pleasing to God. We do all these things. I said, but Paul says to present the members of your body to God as members of righteousness. So you sit up in the morning and you say, God, I present to you the members of my body as members of righteousness. And then you get up and you live your day. And God will empower you. He will take that truth that you are abiding in, and it will begin to manifest in your life. And the members of your body will begin to obey the truth. They are no longer slaves to do what sin tells them to do, but now they are slaves to righteousness because of the power of God operating through the truth in our lives on a daily basis. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.